Anyone joining us, you may participate in the Q&A by either raising your hand, or you can also send them via the chat.
So today also actually information is more related to morality, sense restrainment, mindfulness and clear comprehension, and contentment. So I think most of you don't have much question related to this. If there are no questions, we can wind up the session. Today, our Chitra Devi seems no question. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think Kumudini is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante. I have a question regarding today's sermon.
Yeah.
But it's regarding the elements when we contemplate them.
Right.
We want to get to the understand that what element, what is outside is the same as what we are made of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does the consciousness come into the picture?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have to consider this in Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. So, as far as I can remember now, six elements there Buddha mentioned. Four elements are the physical elements, then the space element and the consciousness element. Now, so the four elements we are getting to know through and even the space element, we can get into know through the elements meditation, but the consciousness very much through the Vedana Anupassana. So it's different approach Buddha is taking in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. So consciousness, one aspect of consciousness or one function of consciousness is to clearly know. Now the example given is, now suppose you are tasting something. And there you can clearly recognize whether it is salty, whether it is tasty, whether it is hot, whether it is, different tastes are there. So there Buddha mentioned one function of consciousness is to clearly know. So those kinds of things. Now, so when you are seeing something, you can clearly know, okay, seeing happens. When you are hearing, okay, you can clearly know, okay, hearing happens. When tasting, you can know, okay, tasting happens. When smelling, the smelling happens. When tangibles are there, you can recognize, okay, the touching happens. And when thoughts are there, you can say, okay, cognition happens. So each and every sense base, you can be more mindful, and that whenever sense impingement happens, so you can know, okay, there is some knowing happens. So this knowing part is what we call the consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, etc. So this knowing, then and there you recognize how this knowing happens. So this knowing,
I understand that, but my question was not quite that. Then I'm asking, we are made to get the understanding that outside and inside we are made the same. But as the outside, like, say for instance, of course, inanimate things don't have a consciousness,
mm-hmm.
but animals do have some consciousness. What about plants and stuff like they don't?
Mm-hmm.
So if that sort of question is what I'm asking. So if it is the only, the hardness, the softness, all those things outside, we are supposed to understand that we are made of the same things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But then what about consciousness? It's just something apart from it.
No, we can't say so. It is not apart from us. What we have is something, the same thing, and the outside is also what's available, the same thing. Now say, my consciousness, how it is operating, and your consciousness, how it is operating, is very similar. Say, that is why, when we are actually recognizing the function of consciousness using ourselves. When I see something, when I hear something, so we are applying the mindfulness to our sense faculties to understand the function of the consciousness. But when you apply that knowledge inferentially to someone else, same thing happens there. So more and more you understand the function of your consciousness, you can inferentially understand, okay, similar thing happens with another person. Similar thing happens with another animal. I mean, you can't say, now say for example, a dog, when it sees something, so same eye consciousness happen. When it hears something, the ear consciousness happen. So
it only tries to
animate things.
Something that has life. But
exactly.
Not to animate things.
Yes. Only to the living beings. So we can say the consciousness operates similarly, and in that sense, actually, we are losing that too much distinction that we have given to ourselves. So we can understand, okay, everywhere the consciousness is there. The cognition happens everywhere. So it is not only here. It is kind of the cognition is there. Knowing is there. Yeah.
So plants have some rudimentary consciousness?
That's difficult to answer. Actually, they do have some sensing. Different kinds of experiments have done, and they understood now, say, for example, if you are talking to a plant with soft words, more mild words, and then they react in one way, and if you are using harsh words, they react in another way. So this explains some sort of an effect is there, but we can't say they have completely a life in the sense kind of a consciousness. We can't say they have consciousness, but they have some form of sensitivity. Yeah.
What is confusing to me is when we are understanding, inanimate things, the hardness and all that, we compare those also in getting to reach the understanding of what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But those inanimate things don't have a consciousness, but we are relating to them.
But
what is the need for that?
The thing is, now our body, we are using coupled with the mind, so that we need to understand the complete system. No? So we are not merely having the consciousness. We have some material aspect as well. So we need to know how this material component also react, how this material component also sort of relate. So in order to understand the materiality, so we need to explore the body. So then with the exploration, we understand, okay, it is not only to this body. I mean, even to the outside, certain aspects are very common, very similar. So the distinction that we have given to this body become less and less in that, with that understanding. Now, similarly, similarly to all the other aggregates. Now, say, for example, when you are practicing Vedana Anupassana, so you understand, okay, this body is going through various feelings, this mind is going through various feelings. And the same knowledge you can apply to outside, you can say another living being also going through various different kinds of feelings. So feelings are a kind of a common thing. So the distinction that I have given and I recognize these feelings as mine, myself, become kind of questionable in that sense. How I am referring these feelings are me, myself. Because they are impermanent, they come and go. So likewise, to the perceptions, to the different kinds of formations, and to the consciousness, so they are all impermanent. Actually, it is not, Ajata Bahidda is one aspect of understanding. Understanding their arising and passing away nature is another side of understanding. So, I mean, yeah, it is not only understanding that it is common. It is common. Understanding it is common is one thing, which helps to sort of overcome too much possessiveness, conceit, and that sort of thing. Now, on the other hand, understanding their impermanent nature, isn't it? So, the understanding the very impermanent nature is one important aspect of our practice. Because that leads to sort of completely deny an existing soul, an existing say hard core or kind of something substantial. I mean, whether it is this body or the outside, there is nothing substantial. In this consciousness or outside, there is nothing substantial, because it's constantly arising and passing away. So that understanding, not only here, even the outside, it is empty, without anything substantial, it's another insight that one gains through the practice.
Thank you, Bhante. The last bit that you spoke about made me understand it very much more, that you were the last bit about. Thank you very much.
Yes, yeah, welcome.
Thank you. I would like to invite Chita Devi to ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, just following that thing about the reflecting on the four elements.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it when we talk about the four elements, we think about the hardness and softness and smoothness and all those things, we can relate it to our own body, but also can we then take our mindset to a tree and say the roughness of the bark, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So can we is that correct to think, thinking, or I don't know whether we are thinking or reflecting with the roughness of ourselves, some whatever part of the body, and the roughness of the tree and the bark, they are similar. So is that also something that we can do?
Yes. That is where the Ajata Bahidha comes to the play. Actually we have some practical knowledge, experiential knowledge using this very body, and that experiential knowledge is not limited to this body, but we can apply that to outside as well. That is emphasized in Ajatancha Bahiddhacha. So that is emphasized. So you are using the internal as well as the external. And what is mentioned in the, say for example, in the Mahahatti Padopama Sutta, so Buddha highlights and the Venerable Sariputta highlights, there are now whatever the hardness we find within ourselves, within this internal body, and what is the hardness we find outside, is just the hardness. Hardness is common. Hardness is a common characteristic. Now it is available inside, it's available outside. So it is just the hardness. So how I can say internal hardness is more superior than the external hardness? We can't argue like that. It is improper to say like that. So therefore, hardness is just hardness. Either it is in this body or either it is in the outside. It's just the hardness. So similarly, if we apply the same understanding, so when apply to feelings, okay, this internal feelings, what I experience, Just for the communication, I am using the term I. So the internal feelings that I am experiencing and the other feelings that others are experiencing are very much the same feelings. So feelings are feelings, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So also when we are sticking to the four elements, even the that we can feel the saliva when we are not just talking or when we are meditation, can we say this is the same
fluidity? Exactly. Yes. Definitely.
That kind of thing.
Definitely.
So it's not thinking, it's reflecting. Would you say that because I just want to make sure I'm not thinking, but I'm actually reflecting, and that would be right. No, it's reflecting, not thinking.
No, actually that's the thing. Now, first of all, we need to quietly, experientially know these things within ourselves. So that is not a kind of a thinking process. I mean, you can actually learn Buddha's teaching and think about it. That is also part of practice. But most important thing is the experiential knowledge, where you are developing a fair amount of concentration, and with that concentration, you are able to recognize these element characteristics, how they behave. So yeah. now you have some practical knowledge, experiential knowledge. So when you have that experiential knowledge, so your mind may ask from you, isn't it the same thing available outside?
Yeah, isn't it? But we have to prompt the mind sometimes.
Maybe. Yeah, that I agree. Yeah. Yes. We might have to prompt. But anyway, it is not by looking at a book or sort of that sort of thing. Rather, since you already have gained a fair amount of understanding by experientially sort of analyze your body, I mean, feel your body, experience your body, you understood, okay, this is the thing available inside. So then,
yeah.
Inferentially, it is fairly sort of very much like automatic that you may understand, okay, outside also is similar. So, I mean, you can think about it. No, I mean, there is no harm in thinking. Probably a certain amount of thinking is also involved. Because you can't really experience entire universe to know the physical thing. But by you become part of the whole universe, you are representing the universe in that sense. So, the outside is also very much similar.
So, this is really to lose the concept of self. When we reflect like this, we are just like
part of the environment.
Energy here, and the energy there, whatever you want, whatever word you want to call it.
Yes.
So, if we are trying to reduce this concept of self, it's the most important thing to lose, actually.
True. And again, always we have kind of self-centered thinking. We are always keeping this body as one unit, my thinking, my perceptions, my feelings, my body. So we have made a very small component while keeping that as a center, the whole thinking has sort of came out. So our whole way of thinking, perceptions, is very much like this self-centered. Now, using this whole practice, now this self-centered has become diluted, become more and more irrelevant. I mean, now you become a kind of a part of the universe. You become,
yes.
So this self-centeredness become less and less. You become part of the universe. I mean, you feel that, I mean, I am part of the universe. I mean, I can, even though I mean, even though this body is there, mind is there, I mean, so you feel connected with the whole universe. Isn't it?
And that is what is what Vipassana is all about. When we say Vipassana, brings about wisdom. It is always losing the concept of self, seeing the impermanence, and just knowing that we are just a dewdrop in the leaves.
Yeah, we can say so. Yeah, we can say so. Yes.
So, the other thing that I just want to touch on is that, you know, the things about the Abhisthita for the monks, like as lay people, I mean, I know some people who like to sleep on low beds, and I don't, but I know they do, some people I know, and then, now in order to go on the spiritual path or to have any forms of positive attainments, are we expected at some stage to be doing all these things, you know, to avoid listening to music? I'm not saying myself, I'm talking about myself, but if we have to go further, are those things that the Buddha expects us to do, or is that something that we don't really, we don't overdo, of course, now because we are in the Dhamma, we don't overdo, and all the time, listening to this and that and doing that and this, and you are trying to calm the mind and body and trying to reduce our activities as much as possible, but are we expected to do this, to move forward further?
Actually, we can say yes, because thing is, now more one is sort of progressing in the path, so they may feel that, I mean, the gross sensations become sort of unbearable. Say, for example, now assume that you are used to look at so many movies and that is filled with a lot of excitement. And
yes.
Later you may understand, I mean, I am agitating the mind by looking at these things. So it has become kind of too much gross to the mind. I mean, I'm taking too many signs. I become sort of overwhelmed by, say, emotions. So likewise, you understand how the mind being affected by these kind of gross sensations, gross satisfactions or gross entertainment. So therefore, probably now you can replace that gross entertainment with some refined entertainment.
Yes.
So likewise, the practice become kind of going from more gross level to a refined level. You can't go immediately to a more refined level. Rather, where you are with that level, you are refining yourself to another more refined level.
Yes, yes. So, yes. So, your answer is, at some stage, it is to our advantage if we follow some of these things in a more disciplined manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, because we are doing, of course, we are reducing a lot of these distractions and which causes mental proliferation, but
mm-hmm.
still we are living in this world.
Yes. Yes. That is acceptable. I mean, that's why, I can't say, basically, even for monks, now, complete cutting off from the society is not the thing expected, isn't it?
Now,
that is why, even on the other hand, now, with the spiritual life, you start to find another way of satisfaction, another way of, say, joy. It is not the joy that you may come through by enticing your senses, but you may come through a different sort of happiness. So that is why Buddha mentioned when you are going through spiritual practice, there is happiness available, and with that happiness, try to replace the happiness you are gaining in the mundane way of life. If you can remember the Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta, idam nissa idam pajahata. Now you are able to assume that you are able to understand and enjoy certain aspect of the spirituality. Time to time, suppose that your mind get purified, you are temporarily entertaining some sort of bliss, certain amount of composure is there, calmness is there, peace is there. So it's a kind of an entertainment. It's a kind of a unworldly kind of entertainment. So now Buddha is advising, now try to use that as a way to sort of minimize the typical mundane kind of entertainment. A replacement.
But like nature,
Yes.
Cool. Entertain your eyes in a different way, but it gives you some kind of peace and harmony within.
Yes, definitely. That's why I mentioned, I think even during a previous occasion, that is even whenever, the arahants have appreciated. Yeah. They were well connected to the environment. They were able to connect with it and just be with it. And they have sort of healed with it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the other thing is, even music, not loud music and all this rock music, but you have some classical music which is very harmonious to the body and mind.
Yes.
You know about it?
Yes.
So those also are not causing you agitation at all. In fact, it makes you feel very peaceful and calm,
Yes. So that's why I mentioned, now you can't immediately completely avoid everything. So that becomes a kind of a failure. Rather, better we take a very practical approach. At the moment, if my mind getting too much agitated with some gross music, hard music, rock music or whatever it is, now let me slowly make it little refined. So let me switch to something more soothing. Let me see whether my mind get less agitated because of this kind of music, or whether it is calming down. As you said, whether it is calming down. There are meditational music also available. So likewise, So that's why people are coming with various mechanisms. But how, what are the ways which are calming down, more relaxing? So assume that you had so much of burden, so much of arguments or whatever the tensions coming through your office work or whatever it is. Now assume that you come home and listen to some calming music. It really helps. It really helps. Yeah, yeah.
So we have to actually basically do things that make us peaceful and harmonious within, because that's how we are going to be more aware and feel comprehension for others who can't.
Yes.
Living in a day life.
Yes.
And also, you know, they focus in on your self-modification, so we don't have to do certain things that might cause, you know, body-mind discomfort or aversion.
Correct,
you know?
Correct. So that is why, I mean, whole teaching, whole practice is, we can say, very much like relative. At the moment, what is the level? I mean, what is the way? How can I further refine it? How can I go a little better? I mean, not, I mean, how to make it less agitated at least?
Yeah. With no self-modification.
Definitely.
When we are 25 years old, we can see from the floor or whatever it is.
Yes, yes.
But as you get older, you know, your body, you have that problems and all that, so you can't substitute, then you can't self-modify because you think you are doing something to, but actually you have to go back to basics of body-mind. Are we, you know, making the body-mind peaceful and harmonious?
Definitely, yeah. That's why, I mean, basically, so looking after the body is expected.
Because it is very, very hot. I mean, I mean, of course, there's nothing wrong with the fan, because, I mean, you can sleep better and then you have your body mind is peaceful.
Yeah.
Would that not be right? I mean, that's why it's there. It's not that we are over indulging, but we are not self-modifying ourselves. Would that be right?
Yeah, I can say so. Yes, can agree. Yes. So you got some permission somehow, right?
I strongly believe, I feel that other people must self-modify, because some people don't know the boundaries. Once I went for this retreat, and these people didn't want to put the fan, and it was hot as ever, and we were going to be more comfortable if we were going to have the fan. But one has to understand the limits, the boundaries.
Yeah.
We are not overindulging. We are not, eating luxurious things. These are things that help the body mind to relax.
Correct. It's so basically,
going to the jungle.
Yeah. So basically, that's why, I mean, what you call asevana cha balanam panditanam cha sevana puja cha, no, what is that, in the mangala karana, in the mangala sutta, that Buddha mentioned that living in an appropriate place, so more conducive environment. That's why, I mean, sometimes Buddha asks, when monks are coming to meet him, Buddha asking, I mean, whether are you satisfied, are you getting enough food, are you well supported? Because these things are quite necessary. I mean, it is, you can't completely forget about the sustenance of the body and fully dedicate yourself for the practice. Basically, you need to find out the balance. So how, now it is very much like using a vehicle. So if you are looking after the vehicle, if you are maintaining the vehicle properly, then you can use it for a long time.
Absolutely. Yes, so some of these things that is being put down, you as lay people, we have to look at it from another angle as well, because lots of the time the monks who these are young monks anyway who can do all these things, for us as lay people, some of these things we can do, some of these things we have to look at it and say, is that conducive?
That's the thing. So that's why, I mean, that is where we need to find out through Vinaya. Now, if it comes to the monks Vinaya, so what is the limit? So where am I going to overindulge, or where am I going to do some sort of self-mortification? So yeah. both are extremes. So if I am going for kind of indulgence, that is one extreme. Then I am forgetting about everything and I am just spending more time in sleeping, spending more time in luxurious things and listening to music and all sort of different types of things. So that is the indulgence. On the other hand, if I am doing some sort of health mortification, then that's the other extreme.
Exactly. So, and that is what the Buddha did it himself.
He did
all kinds of terrible things which he thought was the correct thing, and he realized that was not what it was.
Correct. Yeah.
So we all have a lay people also to understand that, of course, not to overindulge because that is also makes us, agitated and also proliferate the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should have the middle path, as the Buddha said.
Correct. Yes.
Thank you, Vande.
Yeah. So interesting. By the way, I mean, we are exploring the path, that is what necessary, because it is not kind of a blind following of the thing. Rather, we need to recognize what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. So that is why even in the suttas, Buddha mentioned Vedana, the feelings are two types, twofold, which are some groups we have to abandon, some we have to maintain. Sevitabbampi, asevitabbampi. So if we understand, okay, if our wholesomeness is developing and the unwholesomeness is reducing by associating certain group of Vedana feelings, then Buddha say, okay, you just associate that feeling. On the other hand, Buddha mentioned, if my wholesomeness, the wholesome qualities are reducing and the unwholesome qualities are increasing, when I am associating certain group of feelings, then you better abandon that. So we need to decide based on the qualities that we are developing. Whenever we are associating certain type of feelings, if the wholesome qualities are developing, if it is helping me to develop my concentration, if it is helping me to develop wisdom, to mindfulness, so then that associating such feelings are acceptable. On the other hand, if I very well understand that when I am associating this group of feelings, my mind get agitated, I am losing my concentration, I am losing my mindfulness, rather than become wise, I become more sort of deluded, then those kinds of feelings we should not associate. Okay, I think we have spent a fair amount of time in discussing. If you don't have any other question, probably we can wind up the session. Okay. So today also we were able to spend about 1.5 hours discussing Buddha's teaching and listening to some Dhamma. With that, we were able to accumulate some merits, and we'll share these merits with all the past level relatives, all the celestial beings, and whoever in need of merits. We wish ourselves also to help these merits to attain path fruition Nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mam param. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mami bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු